I'd like for us just to be still for a moment. Just to come right now to the reality that Holy Spirit lives in you. Right here and right now. Can you do that? Allow Him to open the eyes of your understanding to discover His healing power flowing throughout your entire being right now. First in your spirit, man. Many of us need to be healed in our spirit. Then in our mind, our emotions, in our intellect, so that we can enter the true rest of God. Enter into that place of peace that passes all understanding. No matter what circumstance we're in right now, peace has been declared as our portion. And then allow the very life force of God, His resurrection power, just to flow through every cell in your body, bringing life, His life, into your body right now. This is what I do every time I minister. I visualize who I'm ministering to receiving this life force of God. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm seeing you being filled with the fullness of God, who fills all in all. Whenever you come, whatever your situation you're in, imagine yourself being filled with Holy Spirit. Totally. You see, many of our problems have stemmed from the original lie in the Garden of Eden, where Satan says, "Oh, you'll not surely die. But when you eat of that fruit, you'll be as God." Insinuating that God's holding something back from you. That He doesn't want you to have your eyes enlightened. The whole key was to make you think that you're independent from God. That you're a God yourself. When we were created to be containers. What do we contain? Him. Him. Totally and utterly dependent on Him. And when we come to that realization of really our true identity, now we can be filled with the fullness of God in Holy Spirit. We can eliminate fear and all of fear's consequences, because fear came in when man thought he should be as God and knew that he could never be that. In his heart of hearts. And if you'll just reflect a little bit, you'll find that many of your problems came right from that source that I'm giving you this morning. And the world is full of it. But we have to be the purveyors and the demonstrators, the container expressors of truth Himself. Amen? Now, one of the things that has been on my heart, heavily on my heart, is what I'm going to read right now. And it comes from Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to talk about first love today. Because when we get first love right, everything else falls in place. Everything else falls in place. You see, Jesus was in the midst of that church at Ephesus. And if they didn't wake up, if they didn't open their eyes and listen, if they didn't repent and return to their first love, they would lose their authority to be a church. Oh, they still may have a name out there. They may say they're a church, but you might as well put an animal head on the front door and say we're a fraternal organization. Because all we know to do is good works and not God's works. Amen? And there's plenty of places right here in Crawfordsville that ought to have an animal head over the door because they don't know anything about doing God's works. There's a difference. And let me tell you something. Those who are out there will know the difference when we come back to our first love. Jesus was telling them, now I want you to get this, to remember who they were. This word remember. Let's go to Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. David wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Everybody say, forget not. Say, remember. Remember all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody need their youth renewed like the eagle? Glory to God, I do. Praise the Lord. So we're to bless the Lord. We're to remember, we're to forget not. Now here's the reality. When you forget something, anybody ever have those old picture albums that's in your closet someplace or other and it's of your great-grandparents and you look at those albums, those pictures come out and they're curled up, they're turned yellow and they're curled up at the edges and you see, they're in ancient antiquity. You've forgotten them. And oh my, wasn't great Aunt Ethel, wasn't she attractive back then, back in the day? You see, that's an ancient antiquity. You've forgotten. But when you remember, to remember makes it a present reality here and now. We're to remember the God's benefit. That makes it real now. They're not in antiquity. They're right here and they're right now. We're to remember those things. And we're to remember our first love. Now let me give you a background of the church in Ephesus. How many know it's good to know some background of the scriptures you read? Now, this may be news to some of you, but this wasn't written to you and me. It was written to a certain set of people under certain conditions by men who were under certain pressures, inspired by Holy Spirit. And for us, when we look through the scriptures, we're looking over the shoulder of those to whom it was written. We're looking over their shoulders. And we're gleaning out the eternal truths that are ours. That's why you'll never understand this without Holy Spirit in your life revealing that truth. Is this making any sense? So it's good to know some background of what you're reading. And to know the background in Ephesus, you see, in Ephesus, it was A.D. 52 when Paul first visited Ephesus. That's when the church had its initial beginnings. He came back to visit it 2 years later in A.D. 54. And that's when the riots occurred. Remember that? The riots in Ephesus? When everybody was turning to Jesus Christ and all those silversmiths who were making those idols to Diana went on strike. And they started a big riot. Remember that? People were burning all their idols. They were burning all the witchcraft books. I mean, we need that in Crawfordsville, don't we? I know we need it in Connersville. We need that kind of move of God. Then in A.D. 60 to 62, Paul writes the letter to Ephesus from jail. Then sometime in between there, Timothy became pastor of that church in Ephesus. So it goes on from that letter. Now we go way out to A.D. 80. And the old man, the old apostle John, becomes pastor of the church at Ephesus. And that's where he wrote a lot of his books, the epistles of John. And it's all about love, wasn't it? All about love. And he's that old man, and he's got him a chair, and he's talking about, let's love today. Whenever they came together, he's talking about love. He's an old man by then. And then, in A.D. 90, Jesus and John wrote the scriptures that I quoted from Patmos, that cave, where John had that revelation. Jesus and John wrote that letter. So, knowing this gives you an idea. So, we go from A.D. 52 to A.D. 90. There's a lot of years in there, isn't there? Maybe a couple generations? Are you getting me? I'll get back to that later. What is first love? How would we define first love? Agape. It's not primarily our love for Jesus, but it's the love of Jesus that's been poured out into us. Agape is revealed and imparted into us to participate in God's life through this word called grace. Our first love has to be responsive. We cannot have first love without God first loving us. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. So it's all responsive to His love. You can't generate agape yourself. That is God Himself. That's like you trying to be like Jesus. Forget that nonsense. That's some religious ritual. Only Jesus can be Jesus. Amen. You're going to be a container to contain Jesus. And so Jesus lives His life through us. Amen? And that life is love. That life is love. And if we don't have enough of His life, then we're going to have left our first love. Because that's who He is. First love is an awakening union that we have with Almighty God. You see, Jesus is God giving God to us, our humanity. And now we're united in Him through our yes and our amen to Him. First love focuses on the gospel as a relationship and a fellowship. Never as a contract. You see, a contract will say, I'll do this if you do that. No, no, no. That's never it. He says, I am yours and I'm giving myself to you, no matter what you do about it. Whew. First love is like this. Religion, and when I say the word religion, I'm not talking about a good thing. The Latin root to the word religion means a return to bondage. So when I talk about religion, I'm talking about something that's worse than sin itself. Religion is the nest from where all Satan's lies are hatched. All of them. He has his fingerprints all over religion. And there's plenty of that in Crawfordsville. There's a whole bunch of it in Connersville. I'm going to tell you that right now. Many of you were raised in that mess. And your identity's all screwed up because of it. I was. It took me years to get out of that mess. Where I had to work to try to be like Jesus. Oh my God, save us from that. Please save us from that, Lord. We're not called to do anything, we're called to be. The doing comes from the being. Amen? Religion is like one who studies the sun. All the fusion and the fission and all the chemical composition. I'm not a scientist to study the sun, but that's someone who knows all the facts and figures. He knows all the statistics about the sun and how the sun moves. But relationship, first love, is like taking the clothes off and bathing in the sun's rays. And experiencing the beauty and the reality. The warmth of the sun. You're experiencing it. You've become one with it. That's the difference. First love is infinitely personal. It's childlike. It's playful. Without any kind of a, you must do this, you ought to do that, you should do this. You ever been around a playground and somebody says, no, you can't do that, you should do this. It stops all the play. It stops all the fun. Never a must, a should. None of that with the Lord. First love has none of that. There's a playfulness there. There's a joy unspeakable in first love. You see, first love is abandonment to the lover of your soul. A passionate, unashamed giving of yourself away to Him. Now, what I've just said, this truly upsets religious folks. They can't stand such intimacy that I'm talking about. They can't take it. It doesn't equate with them. You see, they need the denominational structure. They need the rules. They need the regulations. They need the structure to show them their authority. They need the titles. Enough said. We're not here to demonstrate our spiritual superiority. We're here to love Jesus. Amen. And to love like He loves. First love's always present tense. In this very moment, embracing life in Christ. Where first love is present, time stands still. Have you ever been in a situation where time just, you got into God's presence and the limitations of time and space were no longer there? And somebody decreed a thing and boom, it was. As soon as it came out of their mouth, boom, it became. Have you ever been there? I have. It's remarkable. It's remarkable, folks. It's called the glory zone. There's manifestations in that glory zone that are beyond comprehension. Now, a lot of people make fun of that stuff. I'm toting the gold tooth right here that He gave me. No, I didn't go to the dentist to get it. Feathers falling from inside. Manna showing up in my... You say, well, how could that be? Well, I don't know. Glory, I have no clue. It's God demonstrating His love. When He gave me that, I said, Lord, why in the world would You give me a gold tooth? And He said, Wade, if I would give you a gold tooth, which is certainly above and beyond any covenant promise I've made, why wouldn't I demonstrate My covenant promises through your ministry? So when I smile real big, glory to God, that gold tooth glints back at me, and I'm thinking, You're so good, God. You're so big, God. You'll even use a grasshopper like me. And it does. I hope somebody's getting something from this today. So, why did the Ephesians lose their first love? That first love that stood in awe of the love of God had turned dull of heart. And that dullness in their heart made hardened hearts. Rules and ritual took the place of relationship and union with God. Playfulness was replaced by arduous work and weariness in serving God. Anybody been there before? Anybody been spiritually burnt out because you did it out of your flesh instead of in partnership with Him? I have. I'll be the first to admit, I have. And that looks bad. Burnout is bad, folks. You need to be praying for your pastor. Amen. If you had any idea how many pastors burn out on a weekly basis through this country, you'd be amazed. You would absolutely be amazed. Be praying that they're in partnership, total union with the Lord. That they have their quiet time with the Lord. That they become energized. Filled. Not just being filled once with Holy Ghost, but being continually filled. Get under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. Be refreshed on a moment-by-moment basis. The Ephesians labored for God, but they lost Him in their laboring. You see, we read already, Ephesus was challenged by false apostles, false teachers. And those false teachers, because of first love, were exposed. They were exposed and they were cast out of that church. There was real persecution going on in Ephesus. Rome persecuted that church, as well as all those followers of Diana, those silversmiths and all those idol worshipers. They persecuted the Christians there. Now, I know there's persecution in Crawfordsville, but I don't think it goes to the magnitude of what the church at Ephesus was under. I really don't think that yet. I say yet. And so, because of all this persecution, because of everything that was going on, they fought it, and in fighting it, they kind of became harsh and separated themselves. And you can see why, can't you? They separated themselves from the world, despising their opposition, those who persecuted them. Makes sense, doesn't it? But you know that's Satan's plan? You know that's Satan's plan, right? They became isolated. And soon, they began to preach a gospel, which was no gospel at all, that appealed to their intellect and replaced the passionate love of God from their hearts. Now, Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew 6:16. Jesus told his disciples, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Ladies, what's leaven? It's an influencing agent, isn't it? It influences what you put it into. And so, who were the Pharisees? They were that top religious structure. All the scribes were Pharisees. They were businessmen. But they were of a certain sect that started out great way back in the Greek occupation of Israel. But then over the years, it became a social club. And they started making up their own laws instead of the laws that God gave them. 613 laws, they made up their own. And they considered them equal with God. But they themselves always had a way out. I could go into that crowd with you, but that's not necessary right now. The Sadducees represented the religious spirit. The Pharisees did. The Sadducees, on the other hand, they ran the Sanhedrin. The chief priest was always a Sadducee. And they were all about what? Politics. Oh no. Church isn't involved in politics today, is it? Oh no. The religious spirit and the political spirit, beware of those. Stay away from those. I don't know if anybody ever turns their TV on or not, but that political spirit wants to grab you and pull you in. I don't know about you, but I get mad every time I turn on TV. And I have to shake that stuff off of me. Because it'll drag you right in. It'll suck you right in. And you begin to hate. We said, how can they be so stupid? Are you getting where I'm going here? See, we're not to participate in that. That stuff's going to be there. You've got one chance, and that's to vote, okay? Leave it there. Glory to God. Don't be ignorant of it, but understand what God says about it. It's going to suck you in. That's a plan of the enemy. Does that mean, as a Christian, you shouldn't be involved in politics? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what it means is, it's not to give the space that's meant for Almighty God. Amen. How did Jesus deal with his opposition? He warned them, didn't he? But he wept over them. And he forgave them at the cross. Not so with this church at Ephesus. They begin to hate their opposition. You see, without first love, all that's left is dead orthodoxy. How many were raised in orthodoxy? You know what I'm talking about. Ritual. Where'd that come from? Who knows? That's just what we do around here. Glory to God. When one leaves their first love, now this is going to hurt some people. When we leave our first love, the gospel is turned into personal determination. The I am determined to be like Jesus. We even sing some song. I have decided. Well, it's all about you then. It's all about your personal attention to that. It's all about how you're going to respond to it. I'm getting some looks right now. But I'm just telling you that this is a direct appeal to self-effort. And first love's never about self-effort. Promising to be like Jesus through some behavior change. To separate yourself from the world that now you've become a part of. Again, we don't live for God. We live from Him. Altogether different. And without the awe of relationship rooted in love and grace, we seek to work. We cease in our working from Him and we begin to work for Him. And that's when burnout occurs. It's not far behind. It becomes inevitable when that's the case. See, if you fight a Pharisee, you become one. Now, I don't know about you, but this is pretty good stuff. This is getting deeper than just this ankle deep right now. This is all intended for us to take a look at our lives. I'm looking at my life right now, even as I'm giving this message, even as I'm teaching this. And what was Jesus' remedy to that church? Repent. Have a radical exchange of mind. Not just change, but an exchange. You take your old mind, that carnal mind, and you exchange it for the mind of Christ now. Allow Him to fill your thoughts. Allow Him to bring rest and peace into your life. Jesus never left the church at Ephesus. They left Him. And I have to tell you, first love is our most precious possession. There's nothing more precious than that first love that we have for the Lord. For the I am that I am. That first love is what allows us to experience eternal life here and now. John 17:3 is the definition of eternal life that Jesus gave Himself. And He said, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And that word know is the word gnosis, and it means through experiencing Him. Not through having facts about Him. Through experiencing Him, living within. That's eternal life. And that eternal life has nothing to do with the sweet by and by. It has everything to do with right here and right now. Who wants eternal life? Glory to God. Who has eternal life? Let me put it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, I love Luke chapter 15, where you had the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I love that because it tells me more about the Father than any other place in Scripture, I believe. The seeker who's seeking those, that Father. But you remember the lost son? It's called the prodigal son. Well, it's prodigal father. I mean, he was the one who was prodigal. The son was just lost. There was an elder brother. Remember that clown? He said, what's all that racket going on? You see, that lost son and that elder brother had the same father. They were in the same family. But that elder brother really didn't know his father. Had the same last name, but he didn't know him. When you know the Father, it's to know Him through experience. It's to know Him in the way He loves. Because you're going to love the same things that He loves. That's first love, folks. That elder brother should have been the first one grabbing that younger brother by the neck saying, oh God, glory to God, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're back in the family. Doesn't Crawfordsville need that kind of love? Again, this is a message for each of us to come back to the beginnings. To taste that first love that makes us who we were created to be. I want you to remember that when Jesus and John wrote this letter in Revelation, the letter actually went to that second generation of believers in Ephesus. The second generation from the founders. It was almost 40 years after that church was founded. So this is the second generation. Now I'm speaking to the church right here. You can be a founder of this church. You can fall in love with Jesus and have that first love that's burning within you, and then your offspring are raised in something other than that. It's not transferred down the line to them. And it becomes more of a social activity. They come on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They come on Wednesday and youth night. And it becomes more of a social activity than actually learning the love of God. I'm not saying that for everybody, but I say it can. And that's what happened in Ephesus. That they were more concerned about the rules. They were more concerned about the regulations. They were more concerned about the structure than they were about the love of God. And so what Jesus was calling them to was something they had never known. They'd never really known first love. This is not something you can work up yourself. This has to be something that you receive. But they need to know. They need to know their true identity. That they were created to be a container of Almighty God Himself. Maybe some of us need to be reminded of that today. So that's what I'm doing right now. Does anybody here need to renew that first love? Then we'll use the same remedy that Jesus gave the church at Ephesus. Repent. Have a radical exchange of mind. And let's just start going the other way. Let's say, Lord, fill me up. Let's do that right now. Would you stand to your feet right now? If you can, glory to God. Just stand right there. If you want prayer, if you want to come to the altar and say, I need to make a deposit right here. I'm going to leave a bunch of stuff here at the altar. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to change my direction. And I'm going to receive the love. If you want to take that prophetic action, you're welcome to. Right here, right now. For the rest of us, we're going to raise our hands and we'll say, Lord, fill me again with your first love. Holy Spirit, move in my heart. Take away anything that impedes your love from manifesting in my life. Let me love the world as you love the world. And let me love my brothers and sisters as you love me. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise Him. Praise Him in the Holy Ghost. Just begin to praise Him in the Spirit right now. There's somebody being healed of high blood pressure even right now. Somebody with high blood pressure, it's almost like a blanket of peace came over you, and the Lord just healed you of that high blood, that spiking blood pressure, hypertension. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's somebody that's had acid reflux. He's healed that right now because you've decided that you're no longer going to be influenced by fear. Fear's no longer going to have a grip on you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your peace. Penetrating every cell, the digestive system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Grab somebody's hand right now. Grab somebody's hand. And begin to pray for them. Just begin to prophesy to them. Begin to prophesy that first love would enter their lives. That first love would come back and overtake their lives. That they would begin to love like Jesus loves. That the love of Jesus would fill them to overflowing. That old frown on their face, they've been baptized in pickle juice. Glory to God, that would be turned to a Holy Ghost grin. That would be turned to joy unspeakable and full of glory. That there's a holy expectation now coming into their lives. Jesus. Divine creativity is being released right now. Of how to reach those lost family members right now. Divine creativity. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's a phone call. Just saying, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I love you. I will love you. You don't preach to them. You just tell them you love them. Glory to God. And that love will go right, travel right through the vibrations of your voice into their hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be glorified in this place, Lord. Be glorified today in our lives. Shilabando robo koto soto robo koto.